I lost my page. Okay. I'm going to jump into Philip's question here. It's actually in regards to an example that I gave in one of my posts that I didn't really fully elaborate on. He says, "Hi, Clinton Ali. I was fascinated by one description, that is, a description in the forum, whereas person, as I'm guessing a person, upper left zone one, we are actually able to change, at least in our view, the agency of a social hold on, e.g. common understanding or basis of a relationship, and therefore exclude another being, maybe a loved one, to now be external, at least in our mind, from that social hold on, moving the person from zone three to zone four. All of this within our control, while the other person may still feel that there is no change, i.e. they still think they're in zone three, i.e. each individual has a completely different interpretation of the agency and hold on. Is this often where the sources of conflict, where source of conflicts arise? Essentially, misinterpretations of these agency and whole ones." There's quite a bit here. Let me kind of take it from the top. I don't remember who I was responding to when this came up, but we were talking about a two-person we. I think the example was a marriage. So let's sort of confine our discussion of this to bring that to mind, a relationship that is a we with its own boundaries, internality codes, etc., that has two members. Starting at the top, you say, whereas a person, upper left, zone one. Now, let's not start putting people in the upper left, and let's not put people in zone one particularly. So as a person, you're talking about an individual hold on. So we're talking four quadrants and eight zones here, and we can just choose to look at that person through whatever zone, perspective, quadrant, etc., and it reveals a different dimension of them. So a person's interior as experienced from the inside is zone one, but not a person. And that person doesn't have the capacity to change the agency, technically the nexus agency of a social hold-on. People who think that they do have that capacity or act as if they have that capacity, so I like to call the dominant monad fallacy, which is where folks forget that a we doesn't have a dominant monad, or they think they are the dominant monad. And it's the root of a lot of suffering and the root of dominator hierarchies, and it can show up in really subtle ways. And I might do a post on it with some examples maybe tonight. But yeah, to be clear, it's based on this sort of, and I know it's just a wording semantic thing here, Philip, but it's based on this, the root of it is this sort of confusion. People, one member of a we can influence, is part of, their intersections co-create, co-construct those internality codes, the nexus agency constitution, but they don't go in there and sort of tinker with it like you would your car. And when they think they do, we usually run into problems. And then you say, and therefore exclude another being, maybe a loved one, to now be external. Well, that person, as an individual whole on, is always external, right? They aren't controlled by the we. They're not a part of the we. They're a member. So what's internal is their intersections. So it's not that I can go over to Ali and say, you know what, Ali, you know, we're friends, we've been friends for a while, but you're really pissing me off. I'm now going to do some sort of thing, either actively, verbally telling him about it or sort of secretly behind the scenes, that takes his intersections and moves them external. I can't really form a strategy where it's like, you know what, Ali, I'm going to reprogram the codes of our we so that when you wake up tomorrow morning, you're no longer resonating and this we is dissolved and we're not friends anymore. I can change in the sense of how, you know, what I let in, me as an individual with my own agency. I can say, Ali, you know what, I'm going to allow myself to open into our relationship, to open into that intersection, to resonate there. Or I can say, no, I'm not. Or my pathologies can prevent me from doing it. I wouldn't even be sort of much in awareness or control over it. So there's a lot of things that an individual can do that affect whether their intersections are internal or external. But they're more so relating to themselves. They're not acting on the internality codes themselves, as if we can sort of construct and program them the way we want them to be. And they're not acting so much on the intersections of the other person. Okay? These intersections, they're sort of, they don't exist in me, they don't exist in Ale, they actually exist as the hyphen, right? I hyphen our relationship. They exist in the space between us. So, and what they are, also what that we boundary is constituted from or as, are that history of our past intersections, our shared experiences, our shared dissonances, our shared engagement of each other constitutes what's in and what's out in regards to this we. Okay? So I'm always external, and so is Ali, because our we doesn't control us. But when it comes to, say, a certain expression, a certain aspect of meaning that I share, or a certain action or behavior, if we switch to the lower right, when it comes to that, and whether that's internal or external, is not so much up to me as it is just a matter of, given the history of this we and the unfolded intersections, and as they're arising in this moment, is this internal or is it external? It's sort of for the we to decide. And part of this is wrapped up with the notion that Ken uses in the excerpts, which is a we has a life of its own. And you'll come across it as we do some readings, I think, for the next lesson. So this life of its own, in regards to a we, is more so the grounds on which, you know, it's mitigated, whether intersections are internal or external. Now, the second part of this, it sort of raises a different issue, one that I didn't so clearly handle when I posted on this in the forum. I did respond again to someone else's comment last night and fleshed it out a little bit more. I'm glad this is coming up. You say, while the other person may still feel that there is no change, they still think they're in zone three. So here we're talking about our perspectives on our membership of WEEs. And it seems two basic patterns in my experiences with WEEs, two-person WEEs or WEEs of all sizes, is that we sometimes think we're members of a WE when we're not, and sometimes we think we're not members when we are. And there's many things to say about either of those instances, but basically the root of that is a perspectival thing. It's not clearly recognizing, say, for example, what the actual internality codes are. So if you don't recognize those, your membership could be assumed for relatively simple reasons, like, hey, I'm sitting in the circle. I call that the geolocal fallacy of the we. For some reason, I like to create fallacies to really point out to people the mistakes that we make. And this happens at seminars all the time. How many times have you heard people, presenters, other participants refer to all of us as a we and our shared feelings just because we're all sitting in a damn circle or because we're all on the same phone line? Now, there's several we's operative here, but we can't just assume that all of us are in resonance. You know, none of y'all are talking. It's like me and Ali. You know, you could all be sleeping. You could be passing out. Your intersections could be completely not internal. And the same with people in a circle at a seminar. And often what I've seen is that the people who aren't resonating actually are the ones that keep their mouth most shut, because they know if they bring them up, they're going to cause all these issues and problems. So we can be aware of that or not aware of it or aware to varying degrees, and then can adjudicate our own sense of our membership on those grounds and be off. I think I'm a member of this we. This happens, and I can't get too personal because some of my friends might be downloading this recording, but this happens at meetings that I'm in with friends who we've been friends for 8-9 years working together with Ken. And still, for some reason, it perpetrates that I'm a member of the we. Why? Because you're sitting on the circle having the meeting? Oh, because we have 8 years of friendship? No, but right now, actually, you can't see it, but everyone else can see that your intersections are so external, meaning you're so not a member, that it's like shocking and problematic, and all the while you're thinking everything's kosher and copacetic. And then we can look at the same problem in reverse, right? Where, no, Ali, you know, you really are a member. No, you trust us, hear us on this. Your intersections, they're so resonant, they're so beautiful, they're so overlapping. Stop acting like an outsider, and there could be any number of reasons why Ali or whomever would want to relate to themselves as if they're outside the we boundary. In some sense, it's safer, right? I made a joke in regards to this question to start off with about a we of one. Like, how do you have a we of two if one member goes away, and intersections go external? Are you left with a we of one? And I said, yeah, I love we's of one. They're much safer and easier to navigate. we's of me, right? And the notion here is that it's not, and this is where I was off, and I didn't really think about it too deeply and responded too quickly. It's not that we goes away. Because what that we actually is, that boundary that was built up and it has unfolded all these intersections, has that history. And a we does have a life of its own. So even if you break up with your partner or get a divorce from your husband or wife, and the particular manifestation of that we in the moment changes. The internality codes are changing as well. But there's still that unfolded history, which is why, for as a simple example, if you ever have gotten in touch with like a girlfriend or boyfriend or husband or wife or whatever from way long ago, you know, and you meet them for like the first time in 8 years, and you're like, wow, we had all this experience together, then it went like totally south and went bad and wrong and ugly, and the cops were called and this and that, and now we're back together again. Like, just that feels weird. Feel it in your body right now. But it also feels like beautiful, you know? Even if you fight again, there's just something different. It's not like meeting a friend. It's not like meeting a stranger and making a new friend. There's just something different, and that difference is, in short, the unfolded history. So even if a WE membership changes because someone, say, commits adultery or whatnot and the marriage ends, that intersection external. Okay, fine. For that particular relationship, it could be internal for other relationships, but for that one, it's external. Membership status changed, but the WE still has a history. So there still is some type of WE. It's just a different WE. It's a new WE. We could argue that there's a new WE in every moment, because every moment of a WE is transcended and included and folded. And in that new moment, that novel emergent is a new version of those internality codes. Now, in most moments, those codes aren't shifting drastically, but they're shifting. They're adjusting. They're permeable. And you can see this permeability, this adjustability clearer and clearer as you get into larger and larger groups, where there's more options for variance, more people adding more things that are either internal or external as the boundaries are being constituted and reconstituted. And it's that constituted and reconstituted notion that is the beauty and the heart of like this whole thing with WE boundaries inside, outside in regards to membership and internal, external in regards to intersections. And that whole reconstitution piece is also what bridges over to Zone 7, which we'll comment on in a second here with, I think it's Kieran's question. So yes, conflicts arise from this whole thing. I wouldn't say, as Philip's saying here, that they arise from misinterpretations of these agency or nexus agencies and whole ons. Now, that's part of it. And that, I think, in some sense, helps with account for the example I gave where, you know, someone's a member, thinks they're a member, but aren't. I'd say more fundamentally, or more broadly, conflicts in regards to WEs basically arise from this movement, oftentimes unseen, of intersections being internal or external, and the effect that that has on the individual hold-on's relationship to the WE boundary. So if you say some kind of crazy thing, and you don't even see it as crazy, in a WE, and it doesn't resonate with the internality codes, and you're not aware of it, that intersection is external, and you're not aware of it, and the effect that that has is it, from the perspective of the rest of the WE, right, or some part of the WE, your membership is now pushed to the outside. Not forever, not exclusively, it can come back inside in the next moment, but for that moment. And if you're not aware of that, or if you are aware of it and have sort of a bad relationship to it, like, you know, you're having issues with the fact that that happened, yeah, that's where most conflicts arise, in my experience. And it's where most conflicts can be resolved by taking these distinctions. And we've done this in meetings that we've had at Ken's with a bunch of our friends, big old fights, yelling, screaming, walking out, difficult stuff, difficult work. And then, like, boom, instant resolution as soon as someone comes in and says, hey, y'all, let's look at what just unfolded, what's unfolding now through these few distinctions. And it's like, wow, freedom, you know, just... we all sort of scaffold up to seeing, oh my God, it's totally accountable by those distinctions. And it's not about, we don't get all yucky and personal about it. Not that it doesn't include these personal dimensions, but it's just, it's sort of, no, this was this one particular example was a bunch of guys. So, you know, we have an easier time finding freedom by stepping back to a third person perspective. But I've seen it in many instances. And my point here, and I'll end with this, is that awareness of these distinctions and how they operate, how they help us see, right, the unfolding of every moment, self in relation to WE and WE in relation to self, are, in my opinion, one of the greatest keys for unlocking how to better, more compassionately, more holistically deal with conflicts that arise in WEs. It's a great question. And I'm sorry for misleading folks in my short sort of answer when I brought this up, because it is a really important one to treat holistically. So thanks for bringing that one up.